Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz, Editor-in-Chief of Payments Journal. With current and future macroeconomic impacts taking shape globally, it's important more than ever to educate merchants on effectively managing the e-commerce journey during uncertain economic times by using learnings from past related events, specifically emphasizing the importance of managing payments fraud and abuse with a focus on payment optimization. This allows merchants to minimize fraud while maximizing sales conversions and optimizing operational efficiencies to manage top and bottom line revenue. To get into this very top of mind subject, with me today is Sunny Tucker, Director and Head of Merchant Fraud Solutions at Worldpay from FIS, and Dan Keyes, Senior Analyst of Merchant Services at Javelin Strategy and Research. It's great to have you both with us. To start, Sunny, before we get deep into the fraud discussion, let's give our audience a glimpse into some of the macroeconomics impacting merchants now and into the future. You have some interesting yet frightening stats to share. I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, and I apologize for leading with all these scary stats, but I wanted to highlight the current macroeconomic state. And that's because it obviously not only plays a role in impacting merchant sales and growth, but as we've found from history, macroeconomic factors have also been known to amplify fraudulent activity. So recession or not, when it comes to the current global macroeconomic climate, things are looking far from ideal. The UK right now is experiencing some very high inflation. Their customer price index is at over 10% right now. Many of us know that two US banks were recently shut down by regulators. That created two of the largest bank failures in modern history. And the only one larger than that was in 2008. That was at the height of the financial crisis. And all these looming microeconomic factors are also requiring businesses to make difficult cost-cutting decisions, such as mass reduction in forces, and that's evidenced by the large number of layoffs that are already reported by corporations. There's a website called layoffs.fyi that tracks layoffs and already has reported over 150,000 layoffs in 2023 alone. That almost surpasses all of 2022 combined. So in summary, all this is leading to impacts on the overall global economic growth, and that's already forecasted to slow by 1.7% in 2023. That's the third weakest pace of growth in nearly three decades. As far as overall impacts to business, the drive to e-commerce has allowed businesses to thrive during the global pandemic, which has been a great thing. But there's certain industries like retails and grocers, they've also added major costs to their business as a result of the growth in e-commerce. Things like cost due to logistics fees, both from sales and returns of goods, things like digital advertising expenses, expenses from hosting a website and managing all those products within a website, known as the digital shelf. And then there's the chargebacks and the increase in chargebacks that merchants are facing today. And that's due to the increase in fraud that merchants are seeing through channels in e-commerce. And as you may know, merchants face more burden of the liability when a chargeback is raised due to fraud. And then there's the traditional pain points that are now being more amplified for merchants. Things like payment friction, which can lead to cart abandonment. And that's resulted in over $260 billion in impacted sales for merchants already that we found from a report in 2023.
Yeah, I think you laid it out very nicely. You know, e-commerce sales are great. The increase in e-commerce is really beneficial to a lot of merchants, but it opens a whole other can of worms as far as different challenges and problems and costs that a lot of merchants just aren't prepared to handle, or at least not prepared to handle efficiently. And they need to really consider their strategy to go forward as e-commerce grows more and more popular.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other piece is it's not slowing down either. We just released our Worldpay Global Payments Report. And in that report, we found that the growth in e-commerce is continuing to rise. So the rise in e-commerce, this adoption that has occurred, is not slowing down. People have adopted this payment method as a standard method of shopping. So it's not going to be leaving anytime soon.
It's interesting to think about the added costs of e-commerce for a business, because you often think about by going online, a merchant is saving tons of money for operating costs, for rents of a physical business, staffing, maintenance, you name it. You mentioned increased costs for returns. I imagine this is because of the free return shipping label that I so often see come along with my packages from online purchases. It's a great customer experience, but surely there's also major costs to the business itself.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. A study done in 2021 estimated that the cost of a return to a retailer is 66% of the price of the item itself. So you think about that, a $50 item cost over $33 for that retailer to fully process and then return it for resale. It's a very expensive process, but as you mentioned, it's also a great customer experience, which is very important today. And it's one of the things that online shoppers have become accustomed to. And research shows that retailers are adopting this. 45% of the top 1,000 retailers are offering free shipping today. So not having that as an option can lead to loyal shoppers shifting their business elsewhere. And it's very easy to do in an e-commerce situation, right? Just type in a new URL and I can start finding goods where free shipping is offered. Now, the tough challenge for companies will be combining all these added expenses, especially with recent recent cost-cutting pressures and then the general looming economic hardship that's being faced by consumers. And this is going to require merchants to capitalize on every genuine transaction as possible. Now, the key word here is genuine. And that's because, as I mentioned a little while earlier, there are numerous data points showing that there's an increase of fraudulent activity during financial crisis. Everything from insurance fraud, identity theft, to payments fraud, all have seen increases in fraudulent behavior in the past. So having a broad mitigation at time of checkout is going to be critical for these merchants.
Yeah, as e-commerce gets more and more popular, it just introduces new challenges with fraud and new opportunities. It just shifts the focus from in-store fraud to online fraud, and it's not going away anytime soon. So merchants need to figure out how they want to deal with it and deal with it efficiently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sunny, what's leading to this correlation or what's happening during these times that caused the fraud to increase?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So first and foremost, macroeconomic factors, they create the ideal environment to enable fraudsters. There's actually anti-fraud researchers that have studied model conditions that lead to higher risk of fraud and have coined this term called the fraud triangle. And this is where individuals are motivated to commit fraud when three elements all come together. Those three elements are motivation or some type of pressure, it's opportunity, and then there's rationalization. And I'll break these down. So the pressure or the motivation to commit fraud, that's the one that is most influenced by economic hardships. And that's because individuals are experiencing a financial burden. They're losing a job, maybe, or maybe there's increased costs due to inflation. This is leading to desperate measures to provide for themselves and their families. The second piece is the perceived opportunity. So looking at fraud in e-commerce as an example, the anonymity and the ease of deception that's present in online shopping world, that can tempt an everyday individual to commit fraud. It's not like I'm going to a store and shoplifting and have that risk of getting caught. The e-commerce environment has allowed someone to be in a safe environment within their own home and be able to commit this fraud with relative ease. And then finally, there's that way to rationalize the fraud. And that's basically not being consistent with one's values. An example here would be there's a rationalization maybe that credit card fraud is a victimless fraud and that billion-dollar companies and banks, they can afford it. So you're rationalizing why this is okay. The second reason we see fraud increase during macroeconomic impacts is that people are more vulnerable due to the general anxiety of the current economic situation. This is where fraudsters take advantage of emotions and use it against the victim to successfully carry out deceptive practices. So an example is that fraudsters will target individuals for personal information, and sometimes even individuals at their workplace through personalized phishing activities. And this is all to hope and gain access to a company's internal system or data. An example of this could be a fraudster is sending an email to a known employee of a company. That fraudster has also done their research and understands who is the management at that company, who can actually provide a level of influence as that phishing email is sent to create some action. So there's this email sent that looks very real. The domain is the company domain. It's the actual person management at the company. They're asking this employee to take action. Maybe it's to click a link or download a file. By creating this phishing activity that's very personalized and has created this kind of risk or concern, that's getting at individuals to take action. Now, we've seen numerous examples of this during COVID-19, and that's because a lot of workforce went virtual. There's a lot more opportunities for these fraudsters to take advantage of that. So COVID-19 pandemic was our last macroeconomic event. We've seen that cost of data breaches during this time reached a 17-year high in 2020. And the FTC also cited that the pandemic was responsible for a 70% increase in consumer reported fraud in 2021. So these are direct data points relating to macroeconomic factors creating higher fraudulent events.
Yeah, there's just so many ways to commit this kind of fraud with the rise of e-commerce that were more difficult or just different with in-store shopping. They're going to only grow. The fraudsters always find a way to take advantage of people, take advantage of companies. And there's a lot of room to run for them online. And it's going to be an ongoing problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's change happening quickly, specifically as you relate to the pandemic itself. Change happened quickly. Fraudsters know there's a lot of confusion in all of that. And that's where there's an opportunity that exists. And even retailers moving online quickly, having to do that in a very fast pace and completely change your operations. This all created gaps and all allowed for more fraud to occur. And we're seeing that in previous macroeconomic events as well. It's not just because of the pandemic was such a unique scenario. Every time from recent events, we've seen the same type of overall panic, anxiety, concern that's being taken advantage of. Another reason that fraud increases during this time is because there's a reduction in workforces. I talked about it earlier. That often creates resource gaps and can create resource gaps in fraud and risk organizations. That allows these bad actors to exploit unanticipated vulnerabilities by the companies. And fraudsters are constantly testing the waters. They're slowly pushing the boundaries until they finally find the perfect gap or loophole. Once they find that, it's often too late to mitigate. And fraudsters may have already fully exploited that long before any mitigation steps can be put into place. So if you're in a situation where staff is light, ensuring there's some right automated tools and processes that are put in place there, that's going to be critical for successful protection of your business. And then finally, further cost-cutting measures beyond even just reduction in forces that companies are taking is cutting the expense of technology. Fraud technology is one area that we've seen be an expense that's being cut. That's where it can get really tricky, right? If you already have staff shortages and gaps, now there's technology that is also there to protect your business. There's potential for wide-scale attacks that can become even more severe. Ensuring that the value of these are clearly understood by leaders inside the business is going to be key to ensure that unnecessary gaps are not being exposed by removing key mitigation technology or staff.
There's unintended opportunity being created for fraudsters, and there's overall more anxiety in the general public that fraudsters are taking advantage of. The large issue here is that a merchant is trying their hardest to retain revenue due to increased costs, as we discussed earlier. But how does a business accomplish this when they also must remain vigilant against increased fraud? If a merchant declines too much, it can have a detrimental effect on revenue and customer experience, but not doing enough mitigation risks major losses due to fraud. It seems like a tough balance to create.
Yeah, it's certainly not easy to manage this balance. It's going to be tough, especially since every impact to a genuine transaction, even if it's just an impact due to added friction at checkout, that can lead to decreasing sales, not only for a single transaction, but you can risk losing that entire customer lifetime value. We call that insulting or customer insult. If I decline a customer at checkout, someone who's valuable, it's so easy. I talked about this earlier. It's easy to type in another website and find another competing business. So making sure that experience stays seamless, frictionless for those good customers is incredibly important. And that's why now more than ever, maximizing conversions while not losing focus on an effective fraud strategy for e-commerce sales is going to be critical for merchants. Because if you don't have the right fraud strategies in place, then you're opening yourself up for a whole nother situation. And I can tell you that traditional fraud management, especially ones that operate with a strictly rules-based technology, that's not going to be the best option. It's not going to cut it. In these times, we must consider fraud management as payment optimization. And that's because if you think about what traditional fraud management focuses on, it's mitigating fraud. The buck stops there, quite literally. When you look at fraud management with a payment optimization lens, the focus should be on preventing the riskiest of transactions while maximizing genuine authorization approvals, all while involving the least amount of friction to the payments experience as possible. That means real-time decisions with sophisticated artificial intelligence and machine learning-based fraud detection with as much data as possible. The data piece is important here because think about a jigsaw puzzle. Every transaction is essentially a jigsaw puzzle that you have milliseconds to solve. The more data I have, the better I can put this puzzle together. If you don't have enough pieces, you have a risk of getting that decision wrong. Sometimes you might not have the right pieces and you can't put that puzzle together. And either way, you don't have enough information to make an informed decision of do I approve or decline this transaction due to the fraud. So data is incredibly important. This all needs to be coupled with a limited to no step up authentication, which introduces an opportunity for cart abandonment and lost sales. So if I'm at checkout and I'm about to make a payment and all of a sudden I get a pop-up window that wants me to confirm details about myself, that's introducing friction and can cause someone to get concerned and leave that sale, and you're out the revenue in that situation. And then finally, for merchants who are shipping physical goods, a lot of those merchants are doing manual reviews before shipping those goods out to check one more time for fraud and ensure that as they ship that good, they're making sure it's going out to a genuine customer so they don't get a chargeback on the back end of that. The problem with that is it creates, again, more friction and a bad experience to the consumer. So the ability to execute the fulfillment of goods instantly, as soon as I hit checkout, that good is then moving on to the stage of fulfillment. That's critical with today's consumer demands. You think of things like next day shipping, same day shipping, or even things like buy online, pick up in store. This is where grocers are offering the ability to pick up your groceries at the curb. You buy it online, go to the curb and be able to pick that up. These are things you don't have time to do a manual review on. You have to have instant fulfillment and decisions on these. Now, this all may seem like a monumental task, but there are right solutions that can get you there.
Sunny, you gave a few examples already, but what should businesses be evaluating in a fraud protection provider while establishing a payment optimization focused fraud strategy?
Yeah, and this is really important. There's several things to consider here. The first one, consider what KPIs are a priority for the fraud provider. A provider who only focuses on fraud chargeback reduction or reduction of fraud overall, that can be harmful to overall sales. Providers should be transparent about the value that they can provide in terms of the overall approvals. So that should be approvals due to fraud, but also what are we going to stop from your overall transaction? transactions to get that fraud performance. And then a second piece is ensuring that the provider doesn't operate in a black box method, as they call it. That's where fraud decisions are being made in this funnel without any real clarity back to you on what or why these decisions are being made to protect your businesses. I've worked with a lot of businesses over the years and helping merchants find the right solution for them. And every merchant that I've worked with has some difference in their operating model. Every business is so different that if you operate in a black box method, a business doesn't have an opportunity to add input on why they think things maybe needed to be operate differently for their business. So making sure that businesses can see why decisions are being made offers the ability for business to provide feedback on changes that they should see for their business to be successful in the fraud management strategy. Then look at solutions that create a strong ROI, a return on investment for your business. This is, again, requires the focus of sales conversions along with accurate fraud management. Every fraud technology has some cost to it. There's a lot of technology and people supporting that. So it makes sense there's cost there. But what is my cost of running that fraud solution? What's the impact and benefit it's bringing me into my business overall? And that really should be, how much is it helping me achieve more sales? That should be the focus. Understand how the solution can meet current pain points, but also future pain points. For example, this should address situations such as operational staffing. We talked about reduction in staffing. If there happens to be a way that you're not able to hire more staff during peak seasons, you can't slow down your fulfillment. You can't slow down your fulfillment for goods. You still have to keep up with that demand. So making sure you find a solution that can offer automated fulfillment opportunities that reduces the need for manual intervention, that can be key in using technology to accomplish your operational goals. And then we have the technology and we definitely have the data today to make very accurate automated decisions. The problem is providers out there for fraud are not using the right technology and or they're not applying the right data to accomplish this. So you have to ensure that providers have a strong artificial intelligence or AI and machine learning, also known as ML, based fraud detection. And that platform can ensure to generate all the data that we can collect and come with real time, quick and accurate decisions. But the data is important, obviously, for that system to receive that. So adding as much data as possible at the time of checkout can lead to a better outcome at the end of the day. That's an outcome that can get you to the right decisions and reduce the amount of false positives, so insults to your customer, but also ensure that you're not increasing fraud as well. And then ensuring that the provider can manage a variety of omni-channel use cases is important. If there is a gap that remains open, a fraudster is going to find it. They're always looking for, where has the business not filled a gap that I can exploit? They'll try and they'll find it, and then they'll be able to expose those gaps. We've seen that merchants have a good fraud strategy in place, but there's certain channels, especially as we went through the pandemic, we opened these new channels of business, they may not have the same level of protection there. So ensuring that the provider can close all the gaps from buy online, pick up in store to the e-commerce experience is going to be critical. And then finally, using device data to capture detail about the shopper's device. That is a reference point that is really unique to that individual, and it's not easily manipulated by bad actors. Capturing the actual device information and being able to see, is this a loyal shopper that I've seen before, or is this a shopper that I've seen risky behavior from in the past? That is critical information that you can capture at the time of checkout and leads to really unique data points that can allow for a better opportunity in decisioning the right transactions for fraud. That can lead to a great opportunity to correctly decline or approve a transaction. And then finally, define a refund strategy to help prevent refund abuse. I talked about it earlier. Refunds have become a large problem in the retail space, especially. And having a refund strategy and a refund abuse strategy can be very helpful in preventing added costs to your business. We talked about it. 66% of the cost of that good is lost when a refund has to be processed. So if there's somebody abusing the refund process, you can use these tools to really provide insight and be able to prevent that from happening and stop that sell before the refund is even possible.
I think you really laid out here, you know, the tightrope that merchants and their service providers need to walk in preventing fraud, which can of course be extremely costly, but also really ruining the experience for customers. There's so many different facets of the customer experience where you would like to check for fraud, but where it could really cause a customer to bounce off. At the same time, you can't allow it to fraud. So you need all of these different types of solutions, all the potential ways to check, but that ideally don't disrupt the experience at all. And it's complicated. Something merchants and their service providers always need to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's not easy. There's a lot of opportunity. And I think that it's really really understanding your own data within your own business is kind of the first starting point. Understand what are your fraud decline rates today? What are your fraud rates today? What is my conversion rate today? How much am I getting authorization approvals from the network side, but how much is my provider approving as well from a fraud management side? The thing about fraud is that it's usually the first step in the e-commerce journey as far as the barrier of the decision to move on or not. So as a transaction's occurring, the fraud check is usually what happens first. And if that's stopping a lot of the good sales, you're often not getting visibility on truly what can happen in terms of your overall conversion. So you had to work with your fraud provider to understand what is that KPI.
Yeah. Can you walk us through the recent launch of Guaranteed Payments, what it is, what this means?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Worldpay, we recently launched Guaranteed Payments, which uses exactly the framework of payment optimization focused fraud protection, which we talked about earlier. This has a focus on overall sales conversions and approval rates. That's our primary KPI. Guaranteed Payments offers real-time, frictionless fraud decisions, and it's all backed with a 100% financial liability shift on fraudulent chargebacks. Because Guaranteed Payments provides a fraud chargeback guarantee, orders can also be instantly fulfilled without the need for manual reviews to achieve things like expedited or same-day shipping. And that meets the demands of today's e-commerce shopping experience that we've all really become accustomed to, and all without the fear of the liability of losses that come to a business. So in summary, as we enter further into this next macroeconomic event, staying vigilant towards fraudulent activity will be critical, but being too restrictive can also be detrimental. So the focus behind every set of KPIs for fraud management needs to be not just to focus on reducing chargeback rates or the count of fraud prevented, but the percent of transactions that are being approved as a result of your intelligent fraud management. We as consumers have all become accustomed to a seamless customer experience. And as the competition in today's market is far too great, we risk the loss of not only a single transaction, but the loss of loyal returning customers if we get the decision wrong. So you may only have one chance to really get this right.
Yeah, if you get this wrong, you disenfranchise your customers, you lose sales, or you're subject to fraud because you missed too much. If you get this wrong, it's very costly. It's something that every merchant needs to take very seriously and really take the time to make sure they're doing what's right for their particular business.
Absolutely.
Sunny and Dan, thanks again for joining us and for sharing your insights and perspective. We hope to have you back on soon.